Audio Express has been delivering the best name brands in car audio and security at the lowest installed prices for over 41 years.
That's because at Audio Express, offering and delivering the very best customer service and professional installation has been our number one goal from day one.
Get Viper's top-selling alarm with remote start for just $249.
Add smartphone control so you can lock, unlock, or start your car from anywhere in the USA for just $149 more.
Upgrade your sound and features with Kenwood's Dominator system.
You get Kenwood's top-selling head unit with Bluetooth and music streaming, two pairs of speakers, a 250-watt amp, and Kenwood's top-selling 10-inch woofers, all for just $5.99.
Audio Express, here yesterday, today, and for many years to come to serve you and all your car audio, security, rear seat video, and driver safety needs.
Check out AudioExpress.com today.
See our ad in the Riverfront Times and check out AudioExpress.com for special web-only coupons on the location nearest you.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:07 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you. Welcome to the Acorns Golf Links 7 o'clock hour. Doug, go on over to Acorns and shave some strokes off your game.
Be a nice place to go this morning. Be a good time to get in a quick 9.
Nice.
Fabulous course over there. What a layout. Heck of a track.
What do they got, Zoysia?
They've got Zoysia fairways.
They do. They do indeed.
They'd be thriving this time of year.
On the Tease Farms Captain's Log, Tease Farms, the official shrub of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, Larry Nichols going to be with us at 7:45. Brian Kenny of the MLB Network and host and author of Ahead of the Curve, his book, will be with us at 8:30. We have an audio postcard from Iggy. He had a chance to catch up. Doug, we've been wanting to get her on.
Scott Baio. Oh.
No, he was busy. We had Brandy...
Brandy Chastain.
Glanville?
Doug Glanville.
Jerry Glanville. He said the league stands for not for long.
Mm-hmm. But who's this Brandy Glanville?
He just mumbled the last name, so we have to guess.
Who's that? Who's Brandy Glanville?
Am I right on that? Plow Padre?
You can't be right because you said Brandy
Glanville. No, I said Glanville. But I don't know if that's right.
I'll say I see her now.
Tim, okay. Per usual, yes, you are correct.
Clip that off.
She's on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Iggy caught up with her yesterday.
Oh, good.
And okay. He has an audio postcard, and it's a lesbian-themed audio postcard.
Really? This is a lesbian gal?
She said she... I'll give you a deep tease. She said she would like to be.
Oh. She now, aspires to that.
Now, how does this work? Because Iggy works at another station, but he puts together audio postcards for us.
Correct.
Strange bedfellows in this business.
Correct.
You know what it is, though? You have bonds. You know, we work with Iggy, so the bond is always there.
Right.
Yeah.
He's just a contributor more than anything else, I guess.
Well, that'll be a real treat.
Come up and ask me to join him in the pool.
See?
Can I ask you this, Plowboy? Because the thing I love the most when Iggy interviews female celebrity, they always say, "Hi, Iggy!" And it almost seems to be the same person. Do they say, "Hi, Iggy"?
This one's more, I guess, sexual. Some of them go, "Hey, Iggy," or "Great to talk to you, Iggy."
Yeah,
so it's not always
have
the same.
Conversation with your kids tonight after listening to this. Mm.
And you know what I'm excited for, Tim?
What is that?
Fun with audio today. Because I didn't get to see any of the big show last night, the Republican convention, and I understand we have some clips. Hopefully, we could play and catch up.
I wasn't aware of this until I woke up this morning, and I'm usually locked in on the Hustler Channel. Mm-hmm. I think I was still on CNN from last night, and then I'm like, what is this controversy of which they speak? And so we have Fun with Audio, sponsored by Maggie O'Brien's. Melania Trump is being accused by multiple people of plagiarizing her speech last night at the Republican National Convention off of Michelle Obama's speech in 2008 at the Democratic National Convention. And we have audio clips back and forth to compare and contrast. And then Donald Trump's campaign manager's response to said accusations. So we have that for you coming up here momentarily. We have Eddie McVeigh in studio, Doug, and that's coming up at 9 o'clock also on your Tease Farms Captain's Log because we are going to officially announce Bomber O'Brien's sponsorship of my up-and-coming adult film star scouting report.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Self-ringer. Now, you haven't hacked into any other station's scouting reports to see what they think about the prospects.
Are you trying to segue into the Cardinals-Astros thing? Is that what you're trying to do?
Just trying to stay current, Tim, that's all.
So we have that for you at 9 o'clock. Another thing that you'll probably have to explain to your kids.
Yeah, you might have to explain it to me.
No, I have somebody I'm very bullish on. Throughout the course of this, I think it's important to get the input of those who are at the top of the industry. And while I am a rising star in the industry, Caden Cross is a friend of the show, and I have submitted numerous people to her over the years, and then her husband winds up sleeping with them on camera about a month later. And so I submitted my pick to Caden on Sunday, and she approves. So I will release this. And this girl only has like 2,000 followers. That's when I find them, okay? I talked about Lana Rhodes a few months ago. You remember, was it April 16th?
I don't remember.
And at the time, she had like 2,500 followers. I think she's around 40,000 now and is already being crowned the AVN Performer of the Year. And we're still 6 months and 4 days away from the AVN Awards.
Wow. It seems like you're scouting, and you know I'm a fan of your work.
Oh, my God, yes.
But it seems like you're scouting people that have already sort of arrived. What I'd like to see is get back to your roots, Tim, and start scouting bus stations across the country and finding the up-and-comers before they do anything.
Maybe just ride Metrolink?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 17-year-old runaways who haven't found the porn agent yet.
Well, I got to wait till they're 18.
Oh,
but yeah.
Did you see the breaking news? Another claim of plagiarism? Anson Williams claims that Scott Baio stole his speech.
No.
So how are you finding these women if they're not already in the business?
No, they're in the business.
Have you ever heard? Then how are you finding them?
He looks at a lot of film.
Did you ever hear Doug Henning explain his magic tricks?
No, I don't think so.
Yes, I did.
I'm just saying, if these women are already in the porn business, how are you taking credit for you discovering them?
He said we crammed the pigeon in the lining of the hat. And you can't see it. You
know? Doug Henning said that?
Explain that.
I feel bad
Paul
for the
Patrick, get Henning on now. We'll
I think he's deceased, actually.
Hell, still.
Is he?
If he's a good magician, he's available.
But Who's the guy that made the elephant appear on stage? These are not women.
He said that was Gallagher.
These are women that have already performed
on film.
It's not necessarily accurate.
Wait, so how do you...
I'm not going to tell you how I know.
You're seeing them on rogue websites.
No, that's not accurate.
You're seeing them on...
The one that I'm going to give you today at 9 o'clock, and it is sponsored.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Listen, I wrote the rules to the game. I've changed the game, but now I'm writing the rules.
Okay, because that's why I want to play poker with you, because I looked right into your soul, and I know how you do it.
There's no way. Yes, there is.
I looked into your soul. He has moles.
It's stupid.
He has moles.
The truth is, it's stupid, but it...
He has moles... At free clinics across the country.
Clinics. This girl that I'm going to give you at 9 o'clock, and Doug, it's sponsored by Bomber O'Brien.
Right, we've been there. Nice
place. We have. Southside, dirty. I don't believe any of her content has been released yet. So that's how fresh these rookies are that I'm giving to our audience.
Is it possible that you've drugged these women? I don't know.
I don't know her.
When you say I don't know...
I don't know her.
You have to. All right. I don't know her because
right.
You said I don't know her.
Right.
I thought it might just be I don't know as if you didn't know how you did it, which is kind of like when we asked Mike Lee, did you have fun on your date? I don't know. Why don't you check with yourself?
Guys, I'm so hard for today. Thanks, Timmy the Tickler.
Okay.
There's no greater compliment for a young lady than to have people think she's a porn star.
You believe that, Doug?
No, I was repeating something.
So your Missouri values?
That was taken out of context.
Guys, not sure if it counts as plagiarism, but Doug stole my heart and my virginity. Thanks to the White Collar Gangster. Now, he's the gentleman lover of Townie.
He's vile, and he's inaccurate, and he's also just found his name in the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logo. The White Collar Gangster has been suspended already. He's already been suspended a period of 2 days' time.
Why, because he fell in love with you? The heart wants what it wants, Doug.
Yeah. Well, he's lying. And he's also in the loghole. So, you know, that's not a very good way to start your Tuesday.
You can listen to us on FM on 105.7 HD2 FM. And you can get your FM HD radio from Audio Express. In this day and age of advanced technology, there is just no need to ever get into a Hoth car, truck, or SUV again. Visit your friends at Audio Express and find out just how easy and affordable it is to cool down your ride before it's time to get in a drive. By adding a remote start system, Audio Express offers the best name brands in auto start and security, as well as the best, most affordable installation in town. Like Code's top-selling remote start system, just pay $129. And they professionally install it for $1. Or go with Viper's top-selling remote start for $149. It's installed for $1 as well. Check out AudioExpress.com for more deals today. For over 40 years, Audio Express has been the leader in auto security and remote start. So, your Tease Farms Captain's Log, Iggy with the audio postcard. We were saying, yeah, you know, I think Camo X is going to get Brandy Glanville. So we need to get her too. If we're gonna continue this competition with Camo X,
and we're running neck and neck. Shoot, it's neck and neck in the ratings.
Right. If you take a look at it.
Right.
So we got her. Iggy got her, and he works at KFNS, but. On behalf of us, he has interviewed her and then sent it over to me and the Sea Monster and the Plowhawk. And so we'll have that for the audience. We have the wonderful Larry Nickel at 7:45. I think there was a draft last night. A huge star made his return to the ring. I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes.
They're drafting wrestlers.
Yeah. Brian Kenny of the MLB Network, host and author. He wrote Ahead of the Curve in reference to his love of analytics. And Eddie McVay, owner of Bomber O'Brien's, in studio as we officially announce the sponsorship of my up-and-coming adult film star, Reports. And I'm delighted to continue a track record that goes back to our friend Caden Cross. And when did she get into the business? 07? 08?
Well, it's probably when she owed somebody a lot of money.
Well, she wanted to save her horse from being euthanized.
Well, that was it, right?
Yeah. So since then, Keisha Gray, August Ames, Christy Mack, Lana Rhodes, and now I will give you another one today. That's at 9 o'clock. So this is really a show that I don't think you want to miss.
Well, no, probably not, because we'll get a name of a person we've never heard before, and 3 or 4 years from now, she'll skyrocket straight to the top.
Or get a nasty drug problem going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of an either or. So there it is. There's your captain's log here for the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com. Doug, you like Sadie Hawkins, don't you? Where the lady walks up to you.
Yeah, I don't mind a Sadie Hawkins. Okay.
So I'm going to give you a Sadie Hawkins opportunity here. I've got three stories for you. You take your pick which one we tackle. Okay. We have Melania Trump accused of plagiarizing Michelle Obama's speech. We have the Fun With Audio presented by Maggie O'Brien's of that, along with Donald Trump's campaign manager defending her speech. We have the Cardinals with a big win over the hottest team in baseball coming in last night. They had won three straight, the San Diego Padres. Mm-hmm. And then we have ruling on the Cardinals, specifically Chris Correa, 46 months in prison for his role in the hacking of the Houston Astros database. Jesus Jose Ortiz wrote a column super critical of the Cardinals, which I would read some excerpts from in the Post-Dispatch this morning. Those are your choices. Now it's really up to you. I mean, you're the guy that all the girls want to dance with.
Well, I don't know. How about the hacking story? That was really a shock to me that he got 46 months.
46
in jail.
Months in the poke.
I'm stunned by that.
And now,
stunned by it.
The Cardinals wait to hear their fate.
I mean, is anybody else surprised at that punishment?
I'm surprised on what I read from the legal community, where people are saying he'll probably get a couple of years.
I don't don't think he should have got any time behind bars.
You know,
hit him with a big fine and put him on probation or something. But he didn't steal any money from somebody.
No, but he's still, you know what?
The judge comes up at $1.7 million worth of insurance. Baloney. Baloney. You're talking about scouting reports, high school pitchers and college pitchers. What, that's information nobody else could have?
Well, hold on. And I understand what you're saying, and I don't totally disagree with it. However, in the age in which we live, information has a value. I don't know what the exact value of that is, but you do have to sort of set a precedent because it's a new frontier. You can't just hack someone's database and steal the information that they put a lot of money accumulating. I understand that. Is it harsh? It seems a heavy-handed sentence to me, so I agree with you. But I do think it's a serious crime, and I think because it's sort of the new frontier that they wanted to send a message that, yeah, this is just like stealing money out of a bank, except if you're not
using
it.
Except he didn't take any money. But I understand you can't do it. I understand it's against the law, and it's a dangerous thing to do. I get that, but there are also punishments that fit the crime. I mean, if you walk into a store and you steal a candy bar, you don't go to jail for a year and a half either.
And again, I don't know what the exact value is, and I don't totally disagree with you, except there is a certain value placed on the information that they were able to cobble together. And they invest a lot. Teams invest millions of dollars into that kind of research. So you have to protect it in some way.
I think if this was information that nobody else had, if you're working on a patent or something and you've got some sort of technology nobody else has, that's one thing.
But their software
is a scouting report on a
like the Cardinals have their own proprietary software that, you know, that is their own that they can defend in court. Other teams have it too. So in a sense, you're making the case, you know, that there was a big crime coming.
You know what Gordon Gekko said? You know Gordon Gekko, don't you?
Greed is good.
He said that. He said lunch is for wimps. Mm-hmm. And he said the most valuable commodity I know of is information. And information has value. And the judge determined that the value was $1.7 million.
And how do you set that? I don't know. But I do think it does have value.
Look, I can't believe it.
Doug, you can say everyone has it. Each team has their own software now, okay? And they spent millions developing. And they spent millions with staff and researchers and scouts to compile their database. So it has to have value because they put that much money into their own research. So you have to protect it.
But this is still value that's information that's totally subjective. One scout looks at a pitcher and says, boy, this guy, he's going to go straight to the top. Another guy, well, I don't think he's any good. Okay, so one guy's information is worth $1.7 million? I don't buy it. I know it's illegal. I know it's a dangerous thing to do. But in this case, when you're talking about this kind of information, to me it just doesn't have that much value. I can go out and watch the same pitchers that the Astros watch and write up a scouting report. It doesn't mean my information is worth $1.7 million.
I don't think yours would.
This guy is
actually
not, this,
yours would not be worth
this
anything.
This guy is not a threat to society. This guy is not physically harmed anybody. He didn't steal anybody's money. Yes, he should pay some sort of fine.
So you are anti-penalization for white-collar crimes?
No, not at all. I'm saying this crime doesn't, this penalty doesn't fit the crime, though. It's way too harsh.
I think folks in baseball, while they might say that the penalty is too harsh, I don't know, I haven't spoken to people, but I would guess that would be, you know, the common thought. But they would disagree with you. The folks that make a living around baseball that know more about the amount of money, the amount of time, the expense putting into these databases would say there is a value to it. And that's why each team wants to protect. And I think you do have to let other folks know that it's not acceptable to do this and pilfer information.
Jose De Jesus Ortiz, he was a guest on the program a few months ago. He is a columnist at the Post-Dispatch. He writes this morning, the so-called Cardinal way is a tarnished fantasy, if not a farce. It boggles the mind to believe that none of Correa's bosses ever knew that he had been hacking the Astros. It's important to remember that Correa testified in January that he told Cardinals colleagues that he found some of the franchise's proprietary material in the Astros database. So, yes, we already know that he claims to have told Cardinals employees that he hacked the Astros system, yet somehow the Cardinals would like you to believe that all the colleagues Correa told kept their bosses in the dark about his cyber crimes. If you believe that, I have a great deal for you on the arch I bought after I moved to St. Louis. That is the columnist from the Post-Dispatch, Jose De Jesus.
So this thing was investigated by the government, and they decided that even though other people knew, they would just charge one guy.
Well, I think it's possible that just one guy was the one doing it. I think it's in a big business like what the Cardinals have. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that you got one rogue guy doing things on the internet that everybody else is not doing.
I'm saying, but according to the column, other people had to know, and I'm not so certain.
Well, he testified that he told his colleagues. That's testimony.
Then why didn't they charge anyone else?
Yeah, I guess it's which colleagues. Did he tell the guy sitting next to him, or did he tell
Jose? So what Jose Ortiz's premise is that he would buy the arch from you, or he bought the arch or something along those lines, or he has the arch to sell if you believe that he didn't tell his superiors.
Well, see, that we don't know, I don't think. I mean, you could tell a coworker under your breath, somebody you got a lot of confidence in, without telling the big boss. I think that's possible, too. I think that goes on in business all the time.
I don't know. I mean, if they're going to charge this guy and see it through where he does that much time, you would think they would also want to get his cohorts in this, right? I mean, if they're going to really throw the book at this guy.
You would think. Again, I understand that this is a big thing for American business, and protecting your information is big. It just seems like this is awfully subjective information. The Cardinals have their own information on all these people. It's not like the Cardinals said, you know what, we're not going to spend a dime on scouting.
We're just
going to steal other people's scouting reports.
I agree, but I don't think that matters. If you're lifting other people's work, if you say the Cardinals have their own, and they do, and they spend a ton of money on it, then if you go into someone else's by hacking database and lift their information, you should pay a price.
He's paid a serious price. He lost his job. He's being fined $279,000. He'll never work in baseball again. To me, that's a pretty serious price to a guy who had a nice career going.
Agreed.
And it's not like that this information is so objective that if you have it, you're automatically going to draft the best players. They don't. They're still guessing.
I don't even think that matters.
Well, I'm sure it doesn't. But I'm saying that this is not new technology that they're stealing from somebody so that they can race and get a patent before them. It's not. It's just reading a scouting report, for heaven's sakes. That's all that it is. And a guy's going to do 4 years in jail for reading someone else's scouting report?
It's beyond that. I mean, there's all kinds of software with, you know, they pump in data and they come up with these algorithms and, you know, mathematical equations to try to identify specific needs and specific talents of specific players. And there is a value. You put money into it, it has a value.
Yeah, I'm sure it does have a value.
And if it were just scouting reports, though, if it were just that and teams didn't see some sort of benefit, they wouldn't pump as much money as they do into these kind of programs. Agreed?
Well, agreed. They do it for their own benefit so that they have a better idea who to pick, who to draft, and everything else. So, but the Cardinals have that on their own. And just to peruse somebody else's opinion, in my mind, it might be a crime to hack into their system. It's certainly not worth 4 years behind bars to do it.
The judge yesterday said the victim in this case is, quote, trust in American society, and compared Correa to one who falsifies medical records or uses cybercrime to clean out bank accounts. He said cybercrime, quote, makes it harder for honest people to go about their daily lives, and I'm not talking about people like Jim Crane and the big shots. A lot of people's lives are adversely affected by the additional cost it takes to defend themselves against people like you. Hughes told Correa to make some sound choices and avoid jealousy, anger, lust, envy, all those things that are why people do things they shouldn't do. Get those under control. A Houston attorney and former prosecutor predicted Correa would face as much as 4 years in prison based on federal sentencing guidelines, said the actual 46-month term was higher than he expected for a first-time offender. Quote, it is within the guideline range, but a bit higher than anticipated for a first-time offender. Usually a defendant in a similar situation would receive a sentence on the lower end of the range, but here a bit more time was given in order to use this as a teachable anti-hacking lesson that will act as a deterrent to others. This being a high-profile case worked against Mr. Correa. That's the opinion of a former prosecutor in Houston.
I agree with that. And like I said, it's sort of a new frontier, so I'm sure that they wanted to send a message. And I feel bad for Correa, who, you know, I got to know a little bit, and I thought was a good guy, and probably still a good guy. He made a very, very, very bad choice.
So would you say that any hacking you do, if you ever hack into a business's website, that's worth at least 4 years in jail, just to look at anything that they might have?
It depends what the what. I can't determine what the value is of what he saw. I'm not even saying that, but I'm saying yes, it's a serious crime. Yes, it is theft. And if the legal system determines the value of what was lifted, then I understand it. I already said I think it's right. Harsh, but I understand that they were going to throw the book at this guy because with all the money now involved with research and stats and the software the teams come up with, they have to protect it.
Yeah, well, the legal system is quite often wrong, and I think they missed it on this one.
So the question now for the Cardinals is, what will they be penalized? Will Major League Baseball take an intense stance, and by that I mean more than what they would normally do, to set a precedent similar to what the opinion of the Houston prosecutor is, that because it was a high-profile case, the sentencing was harsher than normal in the situation for a first-time offender?
Yeah, and now baseball will conduct its interview and its investigation, and the Cardinals say they'll cooperate, and we'll see what they come up with.
Yeah. Now, I would think that the Cardinals would probably get hit with a big fine, lose some draft picks, whatever. That I could understand. If you're trying to gain an unfair competitive advantage, I could see the commissioner of that league saying, no way that this is going to happen. I'm going to put the hammer down right on this right now. But just to send this one individual to jail for 4 years, to me, I think that's harsh. I could walk across the street and rob that gas station right there with a gun to the guy's head, clean out his cash register, and probably not get 4 years in jail.
You're probably right. And again, I don't disagree that it's a harsh penalty. I said that, but I do think it's a crime. And I do think that they're right in kind of throwing the book at him to send a message, because I think too many people think, you know, this sort of thing isn't really a crime. It is. And if there's millions of dollars at stake, you got to protect that stuff.
We welcome your thoughts on the topic. 314-880-0808 is how you can text in. 314-880-0808 is also how you can call in here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, discussing the sentencing, 46 months for the Cardinals, Chris Correa. And now the Cardinal organization waits to hear what their penalties will be after baseball conducts its investigation. P-Hump Texan, P-Hump's an attorney, and also a Hall of Famer, perhaps more importantly, because that gives my money anyway, more credibility. Correa's getting 46 months. If higher-ups knew a great deal, he would have rolled on them. This is the feds. That's from P-Hump.
That's why, you know, I mean, they pulled computers out of there. You know, they did a thorough investigation, and they lined up one guy. So, who knows what baseball's going to do, but.
Guys, Doug is an idiot. Plain and simple. If Channel 2 stole Channel 4's newscast, it would be the same thing. That comes from Hoda Kotb's slightly larger left areola.
And I certainly wouldn't expect anyone to go to jail for 4 years for doing it.
Well, how much is like three?
So it sounds like you want Martin Kilcoyne to go to jail for three.
You know, they're going to have about the same information we have on most things.
Yeah, but what if
the
it
fact
was like
that someone would have looked at my sportscast before I delivered it, and then he would go to jail for 4 years, I would tell you is idiocy.
Well, let's say
at
Martin
a time when the jails are too crowded now, we spend too much money on prisoners, feeding them and taking care of them for years, and their health care in jail. We spend too much money on it. You're going to send this guy to jail for 4 years? That's crazy.
Let's not use names. Look, call him Carton Milkcoin, as another sportscaster who stole your three VOs and your network package, and you saw it. How much time should he do for that?
It seems none. It seems like that's a pretty good comparison for how important we're talking about, the importance of the information here.
I think we have a disconnect on this, though, this part. Like, I don't disagree with you. I don't want to argue. But there is if you're a business, whatever, even if you disagree the importance that they actually know things, because part of it is you think their software and their statistical algorithms or what have you don't really help. I think.
No, that's but your words, but not mine.
You call it a scouting report. Just hear me out. If you're a business and you're pumping millions of dollars in some cases, you know, for this computer software that you think gives you an advantage, then there's a value to that makes the crime of stealing it more serious. Do you agree with that?
Yes, there's a value to the information, but let's talk about the information that you're stealing. It's just not that important information. It's player scouting reports. That's what it is.
But it has
a
value.
It's all subjective.
But it's almost like it's not a crime because it's just baseball players, whatever.
I'm not saying it's not a crime. I'm saying they should penalize the team more than this individual. If they hit the Cardinals with a $20 million fine and say, you got to pay that to the Houston Astros for what you did, I'd be more comfortable with that than telling this guy that he's got to go to jail for 4 years. I think that would probably send a bigger message to the clubs. Don't do this. You will pay a heavy price if you do this, as opposed to sending one guy to jail, ruining this guy's life completely for a mistake that he made. But it's not like he held a gun to somebody's head. He didn't physically harm anybody. He didn't threaten anybody. He didn't clean out anybody's bank account. He looked at some scouting reports. That's what he did. Okay, can't do it, but it's not the worst thing that anyone's ever done. And he's sure paying a hell of a price for it.
What will the Cardinal price be? We will find out. Any idea, the cat, on the time frame that the organization expects to hear from Manfred?
Because they're not saying a lot. Right. All things are being investigated. They didn't do it with a government investigation, and so they say they're going to cooperate as much as they possibly can and hope for the best. What else can they do?
No, that's all. I think maybe it would make more sense to come down heavy-handed against the team that the guy worked for rather than put an individual in jail for 4 years for a crime like this.
And again, I do think it's a harsh penalty, but I also at the same time understand you've got to protect people's investment and information.
Fair enough to do that, yeah. But getting back to the Channel 2, Channel 4 thing,
you'd be hopping mad at this fake reporter.
If somebody hacked into one of our newscasts, and I think it may have even been done years ago, if somebody hacked into it and saw the information we have, we'd say, you can't do that. There probably ought to be some fine for that. But the last thing I would expect is someone to go to jail for 4 years for it.
Well, again, what's the value of a VO from a high school softball game?
About the same as the value of whether you think a right-handed hitter can pull
the
ball against the 90 mile. But
the teams are putting millions of dollars into that research. There's a quantifiable amount of money teams spend. So there is a value to it that's beyond what you might pick up at a high school softball game.
Maybe there is or isn't.
VO of a single in the third inning.
If they spend a couple of million dollars scouting a certain player and drafted him and he turns out to be a bust, so how much was that information worth? It was worth nothing.
Yeah, I think that's a kind of simplistic view of what teams are doing.
That's an indication of how subjective it is.
Because if it wasn't working, they wouldn't invest that kind of money in it.
Well, it doesn't work on a lot of guys. Most guys never make it. Well, how many do they draft a year? 50? How many of those make it?
Six.
A handful? So obviously the information is
so the team
pretty
shouldn't
subjective.
Do it. So teams should, they're all making mistakes. Well,
not,
that's kind of what you're saying.
It's not all or nothing. I'm saying it's very subjective.
I'll agree with that because I don't know what the value is. But if you're spending a lot of money on some, it should be protected.
Well, and I agree it should be protected. But I also agree that the punishment should fit the crime. That's the main point we're disagreeing on. I don't think this punishment fits the crime.
You're welcome to give your opinion by texting in, by emailing, and it is the Ryan Kelly Morning After here on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. You're enjoying some Cardinal baseball this evening. Make sure you enjoy it with a Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Brian Kenny will give us his take coming up at 8:30. He is the MLB Network host and also now author of Ahead of the Curve. That's at 8:30 here on the program. So much going on, including this story from last night at the Republican National Convention. Melania Trump spoke. She was introduced by Donald Trump, who came out brilliant WWE-style entrance. Didn't say a whole lot, just introduced his wife, stuck to the script, and Melania came out, delivered a lovely speech, and that was that. Didn't really think a whole lot one way or the other. Going to bed and wake up to a variety of accusations that she ripped parts of the speech off from Michelle Obama's speech in 2008. Now, the cat, have you heard these audio back to back?
No, but I read the passages.
Okay, so for those passages of you who have not heard it, here it is.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values, like you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do.
My parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise.
That you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them, and even if you don't agree with them.
That you treat people with respect. They taught and showed me values and morals in their daily life. That is a lesson that I continue to pass along to our son. And we need to pass those lessons on to the many generations to follow.
And Barack and I set out to build lives guided by these values and to pass them on to the next generation, because we want our children and all children in this nation to know that the only limit to the height of your achievements is the reach of your dreams and your willingness to work hard for them.
Because we want our children in this nation to know that the only limit to your achievements is the strength of your dreams and your willingness to work for them.
There it is. That's Melania Trump last night, side by side with Michelle Obama in 2008 at the Democratic National Convention. Gentlemen, do you believe that the phrases and parts of the speech were lifted from Michelle Obama's?
Well, it's different because one of the women couldn't tell which one had an accent. So I think that makes everything okay.
I thought the second cut was not similar at all. They both said treat people with respect, but then after that, there was nothing at all that was the same.
In the second example,
there was nothing at all that was the same other than treat people with respect. There were a couple phrases that were almost word for word. I suspect that if you clipped a lot of politician speeches, you could find a phrase here and there that was exactly what some other politician used a few years ago. I wouldn't think that's unusual. A lot of it did seem to be pretty similar. Pretty similar, but I don't think it's quite as egregious as the firestorm that it's created.
To me, and I don't blame Mrs. Trump, you know, I don't know if it was plagiarism, but certainly looks similar in some of the passages. But to me, it's a bigger thing. Like, every word and every speech at both conventions is vetted by the campaigns. I mean, every single word. And I think what should have been a nice little moment for the Republicans now causes a backlash. They can't get out of their own way sometimes. Like, that should have been vetted. Even if it's not plagiarism, someone should have said, this seems similar, let's change the wording here so we don't have any backlash. To me, that's the bigger story. What should have been a nice little moment turned into be a controversy. Shouldn't be that way.
No, it shouldn't have been. I don't know that you can claim that one party has cornered the market on the phrase, you should treat people with respect. I don't think every time you say that, you're going to say, wait a minute, we had someone say that 8 years ago. I think that's a stretch.
Do you agree with me? Because I'm not denying that, and I'm not saying that in political speech there are similarities. I'm saying someone should have vetted it and changed it. So even if there was no lifting of anything, someone should have said, this seems too similar, let's change the wording so there's no controversy.
Yes, that would have made sense.
Paul Manafort, the head of Donald Trump's campaign, responded this morning on CNN.
Who takes the fall for cribbing Michelle Obama's speech in 2008? Whose fault is that?
Well, there's no cribbing of Michelle Obama's speech. These were common words and values, that she cares about her family, that things like that. I mean, she was speaking in front of 35 million people last night. She knew that. To think that she would be cribbing Michelle Obama's words is crazy. This is once again an example of when a woman threatens Hillary Clinton, how she seeks out to demean her and take her down. It's not going to work. Certainly, there's no feeling by her on her part that she did it. What she did was use words that are common words. And to expect her to think that she would do something like that, knowing how scrutinized her speech was going to be last night, is just really absurd.
Paul Manafort, the head of Donald Trump's campaign, responding this morning to accusations of plagiarism.
No, it wasn't Hillary, too, that's punishing a woman that she disagrees with. The media jumped on this almost immediately because it was similar. And again, I'm not saying it was plagiarism. Someone should have said, let's change the words.
I always get a kick out of switching around network to network right after a speech. And after Melania's speech on Fox, the feeling was she showed a lot of poise. She speaks five languages. How difficult would it be to do it in a second language, to give a speech like that? And it was kind of sweet, and it's clear that she really loves and respects her husband. And then you turn over to almost every other network, and it was, oh my God, that was horrendous.
Really? Because I was watching CNN the whole time, and they were so complimentary of it that I thought they were going overboard.
No,
what network did you see it on?
I saw a little bit of CBS. I saw a little bit of MSNBC.
And they were saying it was horrible?
Yeah, they were just not impressed. No.
Who was lambasting?
Bob Schieffer was lambasting.
Bob Schieffer?
Yeah.
Wow. CBS. He's like the nicest guy in the world that just is kind of riding into the sunset.
Yeah.
Well, CNN, it was across the board complimentary. S.E. Cupp, friend of the show, said she would have liked to have heard more personal accounts of her experience with, you know, her husband as a parent or just as a husband. But they were complimentary, especially considering it's, of course, not her native language and that it was not something that she's accustomed to doing and delivering speeches like that. And I thought it was, you know, fine. So I was really surprised by how complimentary it was. And it was, you know, what it was. It was a speech from a wife regarding her husband, so you didn't expect it to necessarily be glowing one way or the other. I guess it was no risk, I should say. At least I thought it was no risk.
Yeah.
It's not, but I mean, are people really going to, not that I think anybody's even proposing that this is the case, not vote for Donald Trump because of accusations of plagiarism? I don't think, just like last night, I don't think they won anybody who was on the fence over. I don't think what is Melania Trump's accused of doing with Michelle Obama's speech from 2008 is going to now get somebody to vote for Hillary Clinton or Gary Johnson.
No.
But what it should have been a nice moment, you know, now steeped in this controversy, which could have been avoided if someone caught it. Even if it's not intentional, even if whoever wrote the speech, someone should have said, wait a minute, that sounds eerily familiar. Someone should have known that.
Similar things to this will happen probably every night of the convention. Tonight, someone will stand up and say something, and the Democrats will rail against it. Can you believe that? It'll go on every night. And then next week, when the Democrats do it, same thing. The Democrats will say something. The Republicans will rail against it. That's all part of the process.
I know it's gone on in the past. I just think the country is so divided right now. It does amaze me that people you know, people you're friendly with, whatever, can see the same thing. You know,
I'm going to let you finish. But
hold on. Let me finish here. But they'll see the same thing.
Knock it off.
They'll say this. They'll see the same thing and just see it totally there's no ill intent. They just see it totally different.
Right.
Let me tell you how Doug's a hypocrite.
All right.
Is because this old man will go around telling everybody that this is a country of laws and how immigrants, you know, they got to follow the laws, you know. But then when some middle-aged white dude hacks into another computer system, he shouldn't get any jail time.
Okay, let me tell you how you're an idiot. I said that what he did was illegal. I said the punishment did not fit the crime.
It fits it just fine.
Well, of course. All right, you got me on that. Boy, you think it fits it fine? Okay, that's your opinion. I think
you got the biggest forehead in local television.
I think for 4 years.
I'll tell you that right now.
Okay.
The biggest forehead, and it's wrinkly, and it's got freckles all over it. And I can't keep my TV on channel 4 because my TV's going to break if I keep it on channel 4. Your forehead looks so stupid.
Well, we've got all the morons watching that we need. We've already filled our quota, so we don't need you, Adam.
But anyway, I'm going to vote for Hillary. Yeah.
Hysterical stuff, though. Thanks for calling in. Just really funny stuff. Thanks.
You're a real jerk.
All right. See ya.
There it is. Call her Adam.
Yeah.
Reince Priebus this morning says he'd, quote, probably fire the speechwriter for Melania's remarks if the person worked for him and did that. That is this morning. Reince Priebus, the RNC chair.
Super name.
You're on board with his name, mm-hmm. Reince?
Well, how do you spell the first name?
R-E-I-N-C-E.
If I have another child, I'm going to name him.
You're going to name him Reince!
Is it Rance? What is it?
Nurse?
Rince?
R-E-I-N-C-E.
Rince? Say it out loud again.
Reince Priebus.
Reince.
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 Rince? Reince.
Reince. Guys, I'm going to start plagiarizing Tim's thoughts because his thoughts are the best. Thanks. That's Juan from PP Corp.
See, now that's lemming behavior.
I think a lot of sports talkers around the country are already doing that, Tim. And your intellectual property has value. And
yes.
Jim Hayes Enterprises is here to defend, of course, for a slice of the pie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wait till Randy Carricker starts doing his up-and-coming porn star report. We're going to have a case. Hey, look, everybody. It's Larry Nickel. Good morning, Larry.
Hello, Nixie.
Good morning, guys. What's up?
Well, hot takes are coming in, and they are warm.
How could hot takes be warm when they're called hot takes?
Exactly,
yep.
Larry.
Think about that, Doug.
That thought will not be plagiarized.
All right, what else you got, Larry?
Last night I tuned in to the WWE, and there he is, your friend, the man from our intro to your segment, which we're not going to play today. I hope you're all right with that, just for time purposes. But Daniel Bryan makes his return to the ring. Unreal to see it.
Yes, as you know, Daniel Bryan is a general manager of SmackDown Live, mm-hmm. which will happen tonight on the USA Network at 8, 7 Central. And of course, there was another guy who was introduced as the Raw general manager, who I also interviewed.
How about that, Doug?
Mm, that's nice.
So you're knee-deep in this, whatever that means.
I'm not knee-deep. I'm butt-deep.
Butt-deep.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Try to keep it clean, Larry.
I did keep it clean, Doug.
Okay.
But Larry, we got audio from it last night. I mean, it was awkward for me, family man, family values, to watch what was going on between Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon, and that set a tone for me that it was going to be a tense night. But I guess when you have a professional wrestling draft, Doug, everybody historically has been on the edge of their seat.
What are they draft? They're making teams now? Why would you need a draft?
Larry?
Because Shane and Stephanie were both in control of Raw.
What? Shane and Stephanie were both in control of Raw.
And there was nobody in control of SmackDown.
Okay.
So the chairman of the board,
yeah,
Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon,
sure,
decided to have this draft tonight on SmackDown, and they're going to have Shane as the commissioner of SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
and Stephanie as the commissioner of Raw.
Wow.
Okay. And then, go ahead, whoever was talking.
Yeah, that was me. I just wanted to ask a follow-up. If you could pick one wrestler that would be your pick for president of these United States, you know, both parties.
That's a great question. There's so many great options.
Yeah, who would be your candidate of all the wrestlers that you've gotten to know, and again, you're butt deep in it, who would be a great president?
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right, Doug?
Seems as good as any. You know.
The training, the prayers, and the vitamins, brother.
He had a heck of a leg drop.
He did. Boy, when he would Hulk up.
I'm not sure that would even hurt.
I wonder what his
hurt? Serious charge.
I wonder what his take on international trade would be. Is that a crazy question?
Mm-hmm. We'll get him on. Larry interviewed him too. Doug, take a listen to the audio from last night's WWE.
All right, hit the lever, Plowsy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new general manager of Monday Night Raw.
Overdone a little.
Same. No doubt about every man's man is accomplished. what's in this industry. Former WWE champion. A best-selling author, a comedian, and a mind like no other in sports entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen.
More popular.
The SmackDown Live General Manager. That is huge. You gotta be kidding me.
Charles the Great
is back. Daniel Bryan.
Dirk, what's happening?
I have no idea what's going on.
I can't believe it. One of those popular superstars of all time had an incredible career cut short. Well, that career is just getting started again as a new general manager of SmackDown.
I was watching coverage of this on MSNBC, and Rachel Maddow said Daniel Bryan having to retire early, but then coming back in a management capacity reminded her of Paul Molitor and the Twins. And I thought that was an interesting parallel.
And then she smirked, and then she looked into the camera and smirked
with her mouth way off to the side.
Larry, do you see the similarities there with Paul Molitor and Daniel Bryan?
Hello, Larry. Nixie. Larry. Larry. He's not there, Tim.
Larry.
Larry! Yeah.
Larry!
Okay.
What?
You left us for a moment.
Wait, wait. Okay. Okay, I'm back now.
All right.
Where'd you go?
I don't know. I'm here, there, and everywhere. Okay. Like Underdog is.
All right.
But anyway, Paul Molitor is a great baseball player back in his day. And of course, he came back as a manager for one of the great baseball teams. Should have been the Cardinals, but, you know, we got... But anyway, Daniel Bryan is not like Paul Molitor, and then he was a...
Don't get thrown by this Paul Molitor comparison. I feel like it's thrown you off track.
It is not... Can I get to what I was trying to say, Doug?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm trying to compare, because Daniel Bryan was a former ROH world champion. And when he was in WWE, he was the latest inductee into the Grand Slam Club, which was, he held the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
All right, you're meandering until we get
I disagree. He agrees with the comparison to Paul Molitor.
Well, you got him off track.
All right, Larry, before we let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot. Of the three hosts here, who would make the best president? And you have to pick one.
Wow.
And, of course, Tim is the one that gave you your start and has put money in your pocket and also healthy meals on your table. But who would be the best president? Be honest. In your opinion now.
Tim.
Y'all let me back here.
Hey, Doug, don't grab me.
Okay.
Larry,
I'm going to appeal that. Go ahead, Tim.
Thank you.
Ryan,
top five countries, if you happen to have them.
Paul Reiser, please.
Yes,
Paul.
I do.
All right.
Paul Reiser, please.
Number five, Paul Reiser.
All right.
Number four, Uranus.
It's a planet, Larry.
What, Doug?
It's a planet.
Doug's exhausted by the Acorns Golf Links 7 o'clock hour. Maybe we should move you to 8 to 10.
Your text.
Okay, number three, Jerusalem.
Yep. City. We've yet to have a country.
Good pick,
first
Larry.
Three picks, we do not have a country yet.
Metis Yahu sang about it when he was a Jewish rapper back in the day.
Number two, Israel.
Okay.
Big day.
And, of course, number one, United States of America.
Yes! Yes!
Great top five, Larry. I'm a fan.
Thank you.
Larry, God bless you, and God bless these United States of America.
Yeah, God bless Acorn Golf Links 7 o'clock hour. God bless Ryan Kelly Morning After, and God bless America.
There he is, Larry Nickel, the best in the business. Sometimes he just kind of bolts in the middle of a segment, and sometimes he continues with an analogy regarding a former Brewers baseball player. We have to break for the top of the 8 o'clock hour. It's been the Acorns Golf Links 7 o'clock hour. Brian Kenny, an Iggy Audio postcard, and Eddie McVeigh of Bomber O'Brien's in studio to officially announce Bomber O'Brien's sponsorship of my up-and-coming adult film star scouting report. This is what Bob Burns and Bob Bragg had in mind when they started Sports Talk Radio in St. Louis at KMOX. And here we are 40 years later carrying on their legacy.
Disgraceful.
Soiling their legacy.
It's disgraceful.
The Ryan Kelly Morning Hour.